Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and we're making our way through the Acts of the Apostles here in chapter 2 in particular, and just dedicating these days and the weeks ahead to trying to lay hold of the encounter the apostles had with the power of the Holy Spirit that was at the very foundation, the grounding, the creation of the church itself. The church is a miracle. The church is born of the Spirit. It's born from on high. The church is a living organism that's animated, human hearts animated by the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. Broken, sinful human beings who are born again by water and the Spirit, who are sustained by God's word, God's sacraments, God's life, and are sent to love God, love neighbor, and make disciples. And we're trying to take a look at how the apostles actually experienced that. What's Luke's account here in Acts, which is a historical account? What is he saying? What does the record say? How did the Holy Spirit work in them? And in particular, today we're going to continue to look at Peter's first preaching after he came out from the upper room. And again, if you didn't have a chance to tune into the program so far this week, I've kind of systematically been just making it through here, chapter 2. You can listen to those programs if you haven't had a chance just by downloading the Renewal Ministries app. Also, you can go to our website if you don't want to do that. It's all the archive there is all the other things that we're producing, including our YouTube channel. And if you'd like what we're doing, subscribe to the YouTube channel. If you like what we're doing, if you can financially support us, that'd be great. But we really feel like we are, as the church is in a time of great purification, great trial, the nations are shaking. It's critical for us to be able to lay hold of the word of God, the revelation that the Lord has given to us, and to see in the life of the apostles the model and the beginning of the way of life of the people of God. And that's those who are baptized into Christ. So I'm going to start today, just for the sake of time, I'm going to move through a little bit. I ended yesterday in chapter 2, verse 24, and then Peter begins to proclaim what he testified about Jesus, that the historical man, Jesus of Nazareth, was crucified by lawless men, that he died, and that he rose again, and that it was impossible for death to hold him down. There was a power at work in Jesus that was not at work in any other human being. The divine life, the indestructible life of God himself, was present in the person of Jesus. And he swallowed up death in victory. He broke the power. He broke the devil's back, the dominion of darkness, the devil's reign, and the devil's authority. And friends, the human race is in some real way in the working of evil, in the grip of the devil, in the grip of the enemies of the human race in the earth, the world, the flesh, the devil, and the power of sin and death. These are realities. These things are real. And Jesus broke this dominion and the rule of these powers. And friends, people who are not baptized into Christ, people who are not made alive in Christ or shared now through baptism and the sacramental life of the church and the mission and the preaching of the church and the like, they don't walk in the freedom of the sons and daughters of God in the midst of these things. It's critical that we understand that and just don't assume like, oh yeah, everybody has access to this and everybody's already been saved or whatever kind of goofy ideas are out there or the predominant ideas that are emerging in the culture and a kind of false pseudo-religion that's emerging, what Pope Benedict XVI and Archbishop Goldman and others called a pseudo-religion, really inspired by the spirit of the Antichrist in many ways. But this Peter's preaching about the Christ, the authentic one here, and he gets right to the heart of the message that was preached on the day of Pentecost. I want to move down here to verse 30. Being therefore a prophet, he's talking about King David, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants upon his throne. So the promise to David is that his throne would last forever. And how would that be? And David didn't fully understand, but what's being revealed is the Messiah, the descendant of David, is indeed on the throne. He's on the throne of heaven at the right hand of God. And Peter's setting up the reality of what Pentecost is about and how it could happen that the Spirit of God is being poured out and they're experiencing it in such tangible ways with such transformational power. He said, David foresaw and spoke of the resurrection of the Christ, of the Messiah, that he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. That's the psalmist reading the Old Testament, reading from earlier in Peter's homily here. Homily, I guess, is the right way to say it. His first declaration that of what happened, what the Spirit wanted said on the day of Pentecost. So David was anticipating the coming of the Messiah. David was anticipating that one would sit on the throne, on David's throne, that would not be subject to the powers of death and sin and Hades and would not corrupt, would be born to something new. Did David have a full understanding? No, but he's prophesying it, basically, Peter said. And who's Peter speaking to? You know, the offspring of David, the people of Israel and the rulers and the people who were present on that feast day and helping them understand. He's interpreting what the prophet Joel said, what David said, and now he gets to the heart of the message. It's this Jesus God raised up, and of that we are all witnesses. So Peter's being faithful precisely to the mission, or to the precise mission that Jesus gave them. He told them in the resurrection appearance, as I mentioned earlier in the week in the Gospel of Luke, when Jesus appeared to them, he said, "You are my witnesses. You've seen everything that happened. All of this was in the plan of the Father. And now I'm going to send you. I'm going to first clothe you with power. You receive power from on high. The Holy Spirit will be given to you. Then go forward and be witnesses to my death and resurrection. Declare it. Tell all you see. Tell them. And then I will give them the gift of the Holy Spirit, the forgiveness of sins through baptism." So Peter begins there. This Jesus God raised up, and that we are all witnesses. So Peter's not making in this case here, he's just simply declaring a historical fact. He's declaring it as a fact. So Christianity is built on a historical truth and on the testimony of these credible witnesses that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Verse 33, "Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God," he's saying this man Jesus who was raised up was exalted. We saw him on the ascension. We saw him. And now where is he? In his human flesh, by the working of God the Father, Jesus Christ is now in glory, sitting at the right hand of God the Father, ruling over all things. And the Spirit today, which you clearly see, and you're experiencing the signs and wonders and reality, and the core of this message, the fulfillment of the full anticipation of the people of Israel, this is happening because Jesus, one of us, the head of a new race of people, is seated at the right hand of God the Father in heaven. And the new creation has begun. His kingdom has begun. He's reigning and he's Lord. And his power is being poured out to overcome the powers of the world, the flesh, and the devil. Again, verse 33, "Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit." The promise, the Holy Spirit is referred to that way in the New Testament, different ways. The promise. What is the promise? Because the promise was throughout the history of the people of Israel in anticipation of this, that God would put his law in our hearts, that he would anoint, that he would give the Holy Spirit. And the promise is now given. And how is the promise given to the human race, beginning with the people of Israel? It's being given through the Son of God, through Jesus, through this historic person. The Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, took on human flesh and became one of us in Jesus. And heaven was united to earth in him. Jesus walked among us, the Christ, the one filled with the Spirit. And Jesus said very plainly in John's gospel that the Father has given Jesus authority to give this life that's in him, an indestructible life, the life of heaven, to give it to whomever he chooses. And that happens once the faithful one has accomplished the mission the Father has given to him. And he did that on the cross, and he was raised from the dead, and the Father exalted him. Remember the great hymn in Philippians chapter 2? Jesus humbled himself by becoming obedient unto death, even death on a cross. But God highly exalted him and gave him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee would bow and every tongue would confess to the glory of God the Father that Jesus Christ is Lord. Now that's Paul's great hymn to the reality of what Peter's actually preaching here. Again, starting in verse 33, being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit, he has poured out this which you now see and hear. Why is the Spirit being poured out? Why is the Holy Spirit manifesting himself there through the apostles? Why do they look drunk? Why are they speaking in tongues? Why are signs and wonders and physical manifestations happening and the winds blowing and all the rest? Because Jesus Christ has poured out the Holy Spirit. It's begun. This is the last chapter in human history. These are the last days. This is, as John the Apostle said, the last hour when the kingdom of God begins to grow and salvation is offered to a rebellious people who are in need of salvation. Every single person, Jew and Gentile, is in need, we'll hear from the preaching of the apostles very, very clearly, is in need of this salvation. Because it's not about following the rules or following the commandments. The Jews can't get there any more than the Gentiles can by following the commandments. The commandments matter. They're important. But what we need is something we can't achieve. We need new life. We need God's life. We need to experience the grace of Jesus who swallowed up death in victory, who dealt with the curse of the law. Peter goes on. This is what you're seeing and hearing. He said, for David did not ascend into the heavens, but he himself says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make all your enemies the stool for your feet. Right? That the word that was given, David didn't accomplish that. That wasn't accomplished in him, but it was a foreshadowing. It was an anticipation of what's to come. And in verse 38, the climax of his message said, therefore, let all the house of Israel therefore know assuredly that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. He's Lord, the same title given to God himself, and he's Christ. He's the one anointed with the Holy Spirit, this new life that everyone needs, this new life that saves the human race. It has a source. It has a source in God's Son. And God, the eternal Son of God, you know, from all ages, united himself to human flesh, and this is Jesus, the historical person. He's the one who was crucified is the one who pours out the Holy Spirit. And it says then, and these people were struck to the heart. They were cut to the heart. And they said, brethren, what should we do? Peter, brothers, apostles, what should we do? And Peter said, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all that are far off. Who's far off? The Gentiles even are included in this. Everyone whom the Lord our God calls to him. There's the nugget, the central proclamation of Peter on the day of Pentecost. And this is forever to be the central preaching of the church. I hope you can join me again tomorrow. God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you Ralph Martin's new booklet, Join the Resistance. In this booklet, Ralph gives us a tremendous vision how we can join St. Peter and the apostles who said, resist the devil and he will flee from you. To get this free booklet, you can call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.